previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
So you're not jumping on the New England bandwagon, right? So, I mean, well, because as we've talked on this podcast before, we know there's the line.
There's the line.
The Yankees Red Sox yes. line. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, I am a Yankees fan, so I follow.
All right, well, it's been nice knowing you, Jared. Thanks for coming on the podcast, and we'll...
At least I got the plug-in, so there we go.
There you go. He's like, I'm done with you anyway. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
You coming to Pittsburgh tonight?
Am I? I wish.
Well, it's not really Pittsburgh, but let's start the show off right now because I kind of got this out a little late, so I apologize. We're trying to do better the next time, which we are when we get to Maryland, which we'll get to later. But tonight, 6 p.m., I will be at Dino Sports Lounge, and that is located at 1020-5, whatever that means, Town Square Drive, and it's in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. So it's on the outskirts of Pittsburgh. I said attention Pittsburgh Littles because I don't know who lives in Greensburg, if anybody. But I just wanted to put that out there. I found this sports bar not too far from the hotel. So I'm like, yeah, we'll just set that up. See who's there. I have the night off. So I'm like, why not? For those of you punching it into your Google machines, it is the zip code is 15601. So same. So again, tonight, 6 p.m., I will be at Dino Sports Lounge, and it's 1020-5 Town Square Drive. That town is spelled T-O-W-N-E. And again, Greensburg, Pennsylvania, 15601. Come on out. It'd be great to meet any Littles from the local area. And meet some new people, but, you know, I don't know if I'll see any other people that I've met in the past. It's always nice to see a friendly face. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So,
Roxy, what's going on there? Anything exciting?
No, just plugging away, getting the show up and running, and, yep, in tech rehearsals still.
All right, I'm going to cut you off right there. Roxy, stop. You're missing. I set you up perfectly for that.
Oh.
Drop the ball. What do you mean nothing? She's plastered outside on the front poster at Radio City Music Hall. You were so excited. You sent me pictures of it. You posted pictures of it. I mean, come on. You're being a little too modest.
No, I am very excited. It's the first time that my face is on a sign, and it's very exciting. I didn't know when I walked in the other day that it was there, but some of my friends were like, did you see it? Did you see it? And I said, see what? And they said, you're outside.
Oh, wait. So you walked right by it and didn't even notice?
Yeah. Well, they're digital screens, so they change. There's like four pictures that they
change.
Oh, they're
digital. I see. Gotcha.
So I was actually looking because one of the other girls saw her face up there for the first time as well in a different photo. So I was congratulating her and looking at that one. And then I must have turned and walked away before it got to my picture. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's a very cool, surreal moment when you see your face on an advertisement for the job that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's very
right. And I don't mean to, I'm not poo-pooing this in any way, I swear to you. But it brings up another little mini topic that the Times Square stuff. I mean, where do we fall on that? Remember how big it was if you had a billboard in Times Square?
Yeah.
So I know I talked about this in the past, and we had some good fortunes with this said thing, but we don't need to get into that recently. But this show I invested in years ago, like 2010, you know, I'll never forget when they were like, hey, we've got our billboard up in Times Square. Okay. So I was all excited, like, holy crap, this is amazing, right? Come to find out that it was like a little thing on the storefront of something. And it was one of these that was digital. And so there was like 50 other things on it. So I was like, does that really count? I don't think that counts. You know, like, billboard's in Times Square, you know?
It's one of the 50, so sure.
Well, but you know what I mean? It's like, is it really, you know what I mean? When you go to Times Square and you see all these billboards, well, now, Littles, if you haven't been there in a while, it is all digital. The screens and the digital screens, TV screens, whatever you want to call them, they're so huge. It's like you don't even need lights because it's like the light from the TV screens because they're so big. I don't know. I guess it counts. But I was just so disappointed when I saw it because I got so excited. Like, I'm going to walk up and I'm like, wait, where is it? This is where they said it was. And they're like, oh, well, you have to wait. I'm like, well, for how long? Literally, it was like once every 5 minutes maybe it came by. And I was just like,
okay.
I don't know. It just cracks me. And it's there for like 3 seconds. You know what I mean? It's
Mine comes up you know, every, I don't know, 15 seconds.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah, if there's only four, that's great. Really great. So, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Roxy, we've got lots of bookkeeping to get through. And then I've got something I want to talk about that you don't even know about that happened to me just yesterday on the tour. Lots of bookkeeping stuff. Okay. Let's start here. Let's just rip the Band-Aid off. I don't want to take too much time on it because I feel like we do it every episode now, it feels like. But so long. Farewell. Goodbye. Let's play the music. We lost Bobby Gottfried. Episode 12. What happened, man? Didn't he make it really far last year, I feel like?
I think so.
I don't remember where he fell last year. But we've lost a lot of the what I was considering heavy hitters. Now, I mean, we've only had one other season, so I guess it's hard to tell. But I feel like it's turned completely upside down because Smitty Scoop, Dina, and Damascus, they're still in it. They were out early last year. Bill Isaacson, our winner, he's been out for a couple weeks. Feel bad about that. Yeah, it's been interesting. Yeah. So Tiny Chuck's still hanging around. He's lurking. He's lurking there. But anyway, Bobby, thanks for playing the Guillotine League, Loyal Littles Podcast Fantasy Football League. Better luck next year. It's always awkward. I don't know what to say. You know,
you just say goodbye.
I guess, but you know, it's like it's sad. It is. Okay, some other things. I don't know when we're going to officially cut it off. But today we said on a past episode is the last chance to join our Toy Hall of Fame contest. Okay, the winners will be announced, I believe it's Thursday, November 9th. So our contest winners will be announced on our episode over the weekend. Notice I didn't say Saturday, I said over the weekend. We've got lots coming up. I'm coming to Frederick, Maryland over the weekend. So Thursday and Friday, I will be playing the Weinberg Center for the Arts. It's in Frederick, Maryland. We have shows both nights. I believe it's 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock shows. And then we are doing a gathering there before the Friday night show, I believe. Right, Roxy?
Yes. Friday, November 10th. That's this Friday at Brewer's Alley at 5 p.m.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I love that you have my schedule more than I do. That was thanks to Dina Damascus set that up. So I guess if you are going to plan by to swing by, maybe let us know, let her know so that we'll have an idea of how many people are coming. But yeah, feel free to pop by there. Don't feel like you have to come see the show or anything like that. It's not about that. I would just love to meet Littles. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So do that. So my point of the whole story is that I'm not sure because of that if I will be able to get a Saturday episode out or not, but we'll probably do one over the weekend, which is where we will announce the Toy Hall of Fame winners. So I love that we're tying this all in together. Then we've got some major thank yous to get to. The list is just becoming endless, Roxy. And it's amazing. It's just, it leaves me speechless, which just does not happen. But let's get going here. We've got a big thank you to Deb and Ron Rutherford for becoming a supporter. They're the two I met in Ann Arbor. We had drinks, we talked, and I guess they like what we're doing and they wanted to become a full-time supporter of the podcast. Then we also have Bill Isaacson, episode 60, and Lisa Demincher, episode TBD, hopefully, for using the code, Roxy. They both use the code.
Wow.
Yeah, they went over to Venmo and typed in our code.
LLPod.
And made a one-time donation to the podcast. And
that's amazing.
Very generous. I mean, everyone's been very generous, and we really appreciate it. And then, Roxy, you came home the other day. There was a little box of that there.
That's right. We got a box of that from the Sharamitas, Greg and Deborah. And it is so cute. It's a periodic table of Broadway shows.
I know. I can't wait to see this. It sounds so interesting.
It's so cute.
All right, Roxy, well now, before we get to our Meet the Littles guests, I have to tell you about this real quick story. And I swear it wasn't that old of a hotel. We stayed at a Hampton Inn yesterday, and we had a very generous late checkout for us. So we got to leave at noon for our travel day. And I'm wandering down to the front desk to bring my stuff out. And I hadn't seen this in a long time, Roxy, a long time. There was a table with about 10 USA Todays laid out on it, okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Roxy knows what I'm talking about. Now, this is going to make me sound 80. I don't care. But I love a good newspaper, okay? I haven't had a newspaper in my hand in so long, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so excited because Tiny Chuck and I, this is how we used to do, you know, our little friendly football picks and stuff. We would always, and one of us would get the other one. And I sent him a picture immediately. And I was like, old school, Chuck. And he even said, it's $3, Roxy, $3 for a paper. For the USA Today. Because honestly, I was going to say, I was thinking I might want to look into maybe getting it and having it delivered. I'm holding it right now. I kept it so we could talk about it. And I'm just really happy with a paper. I got in the car or the van, whatever, and I'm sitting there reading the newspaper. It was so great. It had just so much different stuff. But one of the things was, one of my favorite sections is the life section, because that's like the entertainment section. Okay. But it's called the life section in the USA Today. And look, before I start getting emails, I'm not saying it's the greatest paper in the world, but it's what they had. Okay. And it was usually the go-to back in the day. You know, that's what all the hotels had. Now, no hotels have it. I haven't seen this at all on this entire tour. I haven't seen it. I can't remember the last time I saw it on tour, even back from when we were on White Christmas and stuff. So anyway, I was just really excited about this. But the life section, Roxy, I just wanted to talk about a few of these. This one section was unwrap these presents from Art House to the Cineplex. And it goes into all these movies coming out. Well, let me tell you, Roxy, we're going to have to go to the movies because there is a movie coming out. It's about Leonard Bernstein, and it's called Maestro, okay?
Ooh.
And it's starring Bradley Cooper. Well, let me tell you, on the front page of the Life section, they have a picture of him. Now, apparently, you know, talked about this in the van while we were coming here, and apparently it's controversial, okay? He looks redunculous, okay? He looks so good. He looks just like him. Now, again, it's just one picture. I haven't seen any previews or anything, so maybe it's not as good in the film. But this picture, I was just like, wow. Now, apparently, there's controversy. This is where I don't know. I don't know where we draw the line, Roxy, but because apparently they did like a prosthetic nose and they altered his face to make him look like Leonard Bernstein. And I'm like,
yeah, right.
I guess what they're trying to say is they should have hired someone with the same nationality, you know, so he looked closer to what he would look like. I don't know, something. But I'm like, we're acting. That's what we do. That's right. What makeup's for. And you know what I mean?
I was going to say it also gives makeup artists jobs.
That's like, true, too. Good for you. I didn't even think about that.
Makeup artists who have that specialization, it gives them an opportunity to use it and work with it.
That's
so,
a good point.
Yeah, there are definitely things that cross the line, but then other things that I think, you know what, we need to also praise the artistic value of other people that make shows and movies come to life.
Yeah.
So, well, it's so interesting.
This article was great, and it had a ton of new movies coming out. It went through the whole like winter, you know, over Christmas and stuff like that. So we might have some there. I'm going to just throw a couple more out here. Wonka, it opens December 15th. Are you at all interested?
Not really.
Me neither.
Even the one that came out with Johnny Depp, I still haven't seen it. I just don't want to see it. I'm sorry. Gene Wilder is Willy Wonka to me, you know, and I just love the original. And I know I sound like I'm 80, get off my lawn, but I don't know. Maybe this one has a little bit, it's supposedly a prequel to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So at least it's not a remake. So maybe I will want to see it because of that. I don't know.
Right.
It's just,
maybe.
Yeah.
To be honest, I wasn't a huge fan of the original anyway.
All right. We need to move on. No, I'm just kidding. Why? Why did you like the original?
Well, it's not that I didn't like it. It just wasn't what I was interested in,
gotcha.
I guess.
All right. Well, then we also have on Christmas Day, The Color Purple. Now,
yes.
I have to figure out if this is a remake of the original, the one with Oprah and all that stuff, or if this is just a stage version of the musical, because that's going to be the difference for me. I saw it on Broadway, the original, not the revival. I can't believe they already had a revival of it. And they scaled it way back and down. I heard it was excellent, but I didn't like the first one. The first one was kind of like just really long and boring. But I will say it was one of the best 20 minutes end of the show. And that's why everyone loved, because the last 20 minutes of the show were so good that they were like, that's what they remember walking out of the theater. And they're like, oh, it's excellent.
Right.
But yeah, it was hard to get there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. The Boys in the Boat. I have no idea what that is. That's coming out on Christmas. I'm trying to think of any of these other ones. I don't really see anything that really stands out to me. Napoleon coming. That's in this month, November. Maestro is November 22nd. So we have to remember that right after I get back. So trying to think if there's anything else. Yeah. I don't really see anything I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to save this. It was just great. It was just so great to be holding a paper and reading the sports section. I might look into that, Roxy, but I ain't paying $3 of a paper. That's for sure. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Roxy, let's get to our Meet the Littles guest, shall we? We got an education.
Yeah, we did. Chuck, did you reveal his age? Did that make it into the final cut?
Well, we'll have to see what editing skills Chuck used. But yeah, really, really sweet episode. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hi, this is Meredith Boothby, and you are listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
I woke in the morning, the sunlit waters caught my eye. Colors on the river from the fading of sunshine. Beauty walks through sunset as my baby.
We are being played in this episode by good friend of the podcast, Dante Mazzetti, and this song is called With You. Now, if you like what you hear, you know what to do. Just head on over to his website, DanteMazzetti.com, and you can find all his information there and all his other great music that we've already played on the podcast. And this New York City-based artist is one of a kind. He's really great. We've actually seen him live a couple times. And like I said, just good friend of the podcast. Do what you can. Support these local independent artists. We really appreciate it. And we'll put all that information, as always, in the show notes. And as always, we will play the full song with you at the end of the podcast.
I bring them to my face, and I wear them as they were mine. While the moon is sailing sideways on the night spots.
All right, all you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Yeah, Chuck.
Are you ready for some wisdom?
Yes,
wisdom
always.
Wisdom beyond our ages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
This one might even be able to give Tony some wisdom.
Ooh.
We just talked a little bit off air, but
no.
I don't know. Let's meet him. Please welcome to the podcast, Greg Penk. Hey, Greg, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Very excited great. About this.
Yeah.
Now, you kind of off air divulged a little bit. Now,
uh-huh.
Is that okay if we talk about that?
Anything you want.
Oh, careful. Careful what you wish for, sir. No. So you said you're a year older than Tony.
Yeah, I was born in 1947, or in the first half of the 20th century, as I like to put it. Yes.
Excellent. Well, Greg, what we like to do is we like to go way back
and meet you.
Yeah,
yes.
let's meet you. Can you take us all the way back? Tell us where you grew up, where you're from, and all that stuff, and anything else you want to share with the Loyal Littles.
Sure. I was born in Newark, New Jersey. My parents lived upstairs from my grandmother, and when I was about 6 years old, she passed away, and they sold that house, and we moved to Union Township, which is a little more rural than downtown Newark. When I was about 12, my dad got a job in Springfield, Massachusetts, and we moved up there, and then I lived there for about 10 years. I went to a junior high school and college in Springfield. I went to a little school that doesn't play Binghamton, but it's called Wilshire New England College at the time. It's a university now. And I studied electrical engineering. I got my degree in 1969. And then during the course of the time I was in high school, I started playing music. And I joined a band as a senior in high school, a soul band, actually. And we toured all over Massachusetts and Connecticut and around the area. And I had hoped at that point that I could become, you know, a musician for life, but I realized that there was a war going on and I would lose any deferment status I had. I preferred to, you know, continue not doing that kind of thing. So I got a job as an engineer working for the Department of the Navy and moved to Southern Maryland. Worked as an engineer on various shipboard systems and didn't really play any music. I had gotten married right before I moved down, and my wife was not enthralled with the fact that I might be going out to bars every weekend playing music, so I kind of dropped that for a long time. And in about the late 70s, I got a master's degree in electrical engineering, and about the same time, my wife and I broke up, and I immediately joined a band that did everything from Elvis Costello to the Eagles. Did that until I ended up getting remarried in around 1981. My wife thought it was not a good idea for me to go to bars and playing music and things like that. So I stopped playing music for a while until she and I separated in 1996. Then I immediately joined another band and started playing in various places in the D.C. area and around Southern Maryland. And as bands come and go, I was in that band. It broke up. I got into another band that played everywhere in the D.C. area, from up off Route 70 to up north of Baltimore. And I was working some nights and having to get up and go to work in the morning. In the meantime, after I'd been at work for about 7 years, I got promoted to where I was actually a supervisor. So I was doing that and playing in a band. And as these things go, I was always at least in one band, and I started being in two bands and played in a couple of bands. I was playing in a band that did a lot of old-time blues and old-time rock and roll. And at the same time, I was playing in a band that did old-time country music and folk and things like that. And as I didn't say this, but I'm a bass player. And it turns out there's always a need for a bass player. Somebody always needs a bass player. So one of them, the old-time blues and rock and roll band, broke up. I got picked up by another rock and roll band that played all over Southern Maryland and various places in Maryland. And a little later on, the bluegrass band ended, and so I got picked up by a folk group, a quartet. Mm. And I played with them for quite a while. The guy who got me into the band actually had started coming to my church and found out I was a bass player, and it turned out his band, by golly, needed a bass player. So I was playing with them, and I had been single for a long time. While he was trying to fix me up with somebody at an open mic, I fixed myself up with the same person and beat him to it. And,
okay.
He invited both of us over to his house to play some music. This was in around 2008. Mm-hmm. So we both went to his house on a Monday afternoon, and we played music, and we had really good chemistry and good voices. Our voices blended well. And so we ended up playing as a acoustic trio until 2017. Unfortunately, he passed away. Hmm. His wife said, "Why don't you guys keep playing as a duo?" And we decided to do that. So we've been playing ever since. And at the same time, I got into another band where I play upright bass and some electric bass and do old-time bluegrass and country and folk music. And so I divide my time between the two of them.
Wow.
In the meantime, so that I got work out of the way, I retired in 2011 after 42 years and 16 days working for the Navy. Took a year off, worked part-time for about 3 years right across the street from the National Stadium, but I decided that the two-hour trip up there twice a week wasn't a lot of fun, so I quit doing that. Now all I do is drink coffee and play music.
Ah, wow. Excellent.
I think the moral of this story is you can try to keep the man from the music, but you can't keep the music from the man.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's, music is your passion, and that's what you do, and that is wonderful.
Yeah, it's kind of true. And now that I'm in the duo with my wife, I'm playing mostly guitar and a little bit of mandolin. And
okay, well, wait, hold, pause.
So you buried
the lead there. Yeah, you didn't finish. This woman you ended up, you just said you went on a date.
Oh.
You beat her. So you didn't end up getting married again.
Gosh,
we won't tell her. You forgot that part.
That would be just as well. Yeah, no, actually, within a very short time of meeting her, probably under, we'll just say potentially under the influence of some alcohol, because I had been taking her over to a friend's house so we could watch football, which she doesn't like. Mm-hmm. And after the game with a former name here in D.C. play football, we all went out and sat by a fire pit, and I drank probably an inordinate amount of bourbon and said, "You're going to have to drive." And so she, who was used to driving a tiny little car, got in my giant Dodge station wagon and drove me home. And when we got there, I spent some time telling her how much I loved her and Aww. Wanted to marry her.
Aww.
And she said, "You're going to really regret all this."
I was thinking the same thing.
But... Yeah. And so actually about probably a year later, I asked her again at a wedding reception for my friend, the guy who was the third person in our band. I think started telling other people I was asking her to marry me, and she came up and said, "I heard you're telling people you're going to marry me." And I said, "Oh, yeah." So the following weekend, we went out and bought and she's a very practical person, a nice little ring. And
the rest is history.
We've been together ever since.
We actually got married 2 years to the day after our first meeting at the open mic.
That's so sweet. I love that.
Now, I already have questions. The big one, because we've told the story similar. We have a bass player story that we tell on the podcast all the time. Now, do you read music?
Oh, hell no.
I knew it. He's like 1-4-5. That's what I read. Yep.
I can actually, I sing in the choir at my church, and I actually can read vocal music pretty well. I can sight read vocal music if I have to. But, you know, when I was a kid, when I was about 7 or 8, I wanted a guitar, and my dad got me a guitar. I didn't say this. My dad had played a little drums, and then my brothers, who were both quite a bit older than me, one of them had been a drummer. The other one had played a sax and clarinet, and I had a cousin who played trumpet, and so they had a band when they were kids. And so there was a certain amount of music in the family. And my mother's family, her grandmother played guitar and zither and some other things. And in fact, about 5 years ago, my brother, the remaining of my two brothers, passed away. And one of his sons found my great-grandmother's zither in the attic and gave it to me. So,
wow.
I got this. So there's a certain amount of music in my history.
That's
going
so cool.
Back to my story, I got this guitar, and basically my father handed it to me and said, good luck. And it's like, you know, I spent a while going, this is never going to work. But when I discovered the Beach Boys first and then the Beatles, which was like an awakening for me, I spent a lot of time in my room with the door closed, playing along with everything that was on TV and every record and everything that I could listen to to sort of teach myself.
Yep.
And I was in high school, and a bunch of guys got together to play music because they were all enthralled with the Beatles. And I went over to this guy's house. I didn't have an electric guitar. And he said, you can use this guitar. It's only got 4 strings on it, so you're playing bass. So that was the start of my bass playing career.
Right.
And shortly thereafter, one of the guys in that band said to me, I'm in a band that needs a bass player. Come with me to audition. So we went to this part of town that was less desirable in Springfield. It went down in this basement, and there were these, you know, 5 big guys. And they were like, play my girl. Well, I didn't listen to soul music at that time. So one of them hummed it. I was able to play it. And they said, okay, you're hired. You need to get a real bass. So for about the first 3 gigs, I had this electric guitar that wasn't a real bass. And then I managed to con my father into getting me a bass from Sears Roebuck. All you old people out there from Sears Roebuck. And I played that for 2 or 3 years. And then on my 18th birthday, I went into the music store where I hung out, and I traded it in on a Fender bass on my 18th birthday. And then I went home and said to my dad, I need to get some money from you. Because I had no money.
Right.
The only thing
right.
I ever did was play music. And
now, the million-dollar question for Roxy would be right now is, do you even know what a Zephyr is?
Do I?
Yeah.
If I saw one, I probably would. It's not ringing a bell at the moment.
Okay. All right.
But
maybe during the break, we'll let Roxy Google it and see if she's ever played one. Probably not. Maybe.
If I've ever played one?
Yeah, maybe.
I only play the tap shoes, Chuck.
No, I mean in school.
A recorder?
Your
is
music
it a recorder?
Teacher. Your elementary. No, it's not a recorder. That's a recorder.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know if maybe it was also called something else.
All right. Well, we're going to let her do this because we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we're lucky enough to have Greg Penk with us here. And Roxy's getting an education. And Chuck to somewhat.
Yeah.
Okay. So you did some Googling. We took a break.
I did.
And
I have played a zither before.
I figured you probably did. Now, I thought it was an auto harp or kind of the same thing. But it's not apparently, right, Greg?
Right. A zither is tuned. It's like a harp for your lap, where an auto harp is similar to that, except there are buttons you can push to change the notes and play chords and things
like
that.
Kind of like an accordion type of situation.
It's,
I don't mean, but that's the concept of,
That's correct. You strum it.
Strum it. Yeah. See, I figured your music teacher.
Yeah, I've definitely played one before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
Sort of. Badly, I'm sure.
Well, but you still play
it. Yeah. I'm afraid to touch the one that I have because it's over 100 years old.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
So cool. All right, well, Greg, something else we also like to do is we like to know how'd you become a Little? How did you start listening to Tony and all that kind of stuff?
You know, that's a really good question, Chuck. And the question is, I started listening to Mr. Tony back when he was on 980. And down here in Southern Maryland, radio reception was poor back in the dark ages. And I could actually get that on I had in my office a boombox, God help me, with, you know, a cassette player built into it, but it would pick up AM and FM radio some, and I could actually pick him up, and I probably started listening to him because I read his columns in the Post, and then I found out that likely saw him on TV with George Michael and those guys, and started listening to them on 980, because during the day I'd have the radio on just to, you know, have some extraneous noise in my room.
Sure. Yep.
And I started listening to them, and I listened as such as you could, being on the radio and being in a work environment. So I'd have to, you know, wander off from time to time. So I'd get parts of the show, but that was when Andy Pauly was on, and we were blowing people up who said, "How you doing?" and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I became really a fan of the show. And when he switched over to ESPN on XM radio, I went out and actually bought an XM radio for my car.
Oh.
And also a box so I could plug the XM radio in my office. And I started listening to him at work. And the great thing about that is that I could pause it and I could wander off and do something,
right,
and come back and hit play and listen to him again. Mm-hmm. So it was very disappointing when he went back off XM. And so I've been listening to him since, good Lord, it's been a long, long time since I've been listening to him. I don't even know, you know, some probably early 90s, I guess. It was certainly back in the beginning in the AM radio days.
Right.
So,
and do you also, are you a PTI watcher and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been watching PTI for years. I find myself missing Tony being in the studio so they could look each other in the eye and the personal interactions they have. It's just like I miss, you know, and everybody does, Tony and Gary and Gene and everybody being in the studio.
Sure.
Because it's like being able to sit next to a bunch of brilliant people who are talking to each other and just listening. And to me, that was so enthralling to me. Even stuff that was dumb, I enjoyed, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, even Roxy and I, we've been going through that now, you know, being in different rooms, you know, trying to keep the podcast going and stuff. But no, it's definitely a different vibe.
Yeah.
You could totally tell when they're all in the same room. Speaking of, did you ever make it to Chatter by any chance to watch one of those?
Fascinating. I actually have two Chatter t-shirts. One was sent to me by the fairy godmother, Claire, years ago when they first came out. She sent me one. That's how I met her. Eventually got sucked into various Facebook groups. And a friend of mine worked up in the area, and he did go to Chatter for breakfast on occasion. He was a little, and his name's Peter Schaefer. I don't know if he moved to like Canada or Montana or one of those western states. You know how those things are.
Yeah.
But he actually used to go, and he picked me up one time as just a surprise gift. So the problem is, from here to get to Chatter, even on the metro, would take me about a 2-hour trip up.
Mm.
So I'd really end up going up in an afternoon and spending the night and hit the state. And I just never worked out the logistics to make that happen.
Sure.
But
same exact thing happened. Same exact thing for us. Because, I mean, it starts so early that for us to get down from New York City,
we'd have to go
the night before. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It was tricky.
You know, and I thought, oh, I'll go in the afternoon and eat dinner there. And I even checked out hotels right there, but it's just never could work around making it happen.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Totally understand.
Yeah.
Now, you also moved around a lot as a kid, as you said. And I'm curious if your parents had any influence on this. But so what's your favorite sport? What are your favorite teams? Who do you follow now?
I follow the Patriots, the Red Sox,
New England. Okay.
And the Bruins. Well, when I was about, I don't know how old I was, it was probably 6 or 7, we went to Yankee Stadium a couple times. And I actually, my dad got me a couple of autographed baseballs that had Casey Stengel and all the old Yankee players on it that you never want to have on an autographed baseball, which were probably stamped on there by, you know, gnomes. But I had them for a long time, and since I've given them away to my best friend, who's a diehard Yankee fan, and another good friend of mine who's a diehard Yankee fan, because I thought they deserved them more than I did, since I hate the Yankees. And honestly, when I was a kid, I listened. I was really more of a fan of the Dodgers than the Yankees.
Yep.
And then for football, when I was a kid, I was a Giants fan, because we were right there.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we would listen or watch Giants games. And even when we moved to Massachusetts in those days, Roxy, this will be astonishing to you at least, you couldn't get a Giants game in Springfield, Massachusetts. So people, like if there were big games, would literally drive up into Connecticut. So they'd be outside the blackout area.
Oh,
so they could watch the Giants. They'd get hotel rooms so they could watch the Giants game.
Yeah, I believe
it. If the Giants were in a playoff game or an NFL championship game, we would have people saying, "Can we come up to the house and watch the game?" And we'd have people coming up to watch the Giants play.
Wow.
So I rooted for them for a long time. And I hated the Washington team because they got Sam Huff away from the Giants. And they were beating, you know, Sunday was beating the Giants at the time, and it was just like very sad to me. So ultimately, I kind of, when I moved down here, you couldn't see anybody down here except for Washington teams. You know, right. At the time it was the Senators, or you could see Baltimore, or you could see the Washington football team. And I was at a friend's house for a Monday night game. And I wasn't really a Redskin fan, but he was. So I sat and watched a game with him, and they were playing the godforsaken Cowboys. And gosh, I forgot who it was. It might have been Walt Garrison was trying to score from about the 2-yard line. And I think Mike Bass or somebody stood him up and just knocked him on his butt. And for some instant at that moment, I became a Washington fan. It was like, boy, I really like these guys. Mm. And so I was a fanatic Washington football guy for years. And I used to, I went to some Orioles games, and I enjoyed Euro. It's just the game that I is the team I could see. So, you know, it was the local team. I'd root for them. But probably in 96, I started dating a woman whose family had 23 season tickets to the Washington games.
23?
23, wow. Yes. 23. There were, I think, 17 in the lower bowl, and then there were the rest of them were in the top of the stadium at FedEx.
Wow.
So I think I went to the first game at FedEx, actually, and I ended up buying season tickets for a long time. And the seats were, you know, on the 40-yard line, they were about, the first ones I had were about 25 rows back, 24 rows back. And at some point, she and I broke up. And so her brother used to have seats that were about 14 seats back from the field, and he said, look, my kid's playing peewee football now, I can't go, you want my tickets? I was like, sure. So I bought his, he had two tickets, so a buddy and I would go to all the games. And other than the awkwardness of, you know, walking past my ex-girlfriend and her entire family at every game, you know, we were all friendly.
That's
but,
good.
Right. That's did it good. For a long time until I just got, you know, it's like I got tired of the coaching carousel. I got tired of it all. I just got tired of the satanic human being who owned the team. And yeah. I couldn't take it anymore. And eventually I just stopped getting them. And the price kept going up. When I bought them the first year, the first probably 5 or 6 years I had the tickets, they were $750 for a year for all the games and the preseason games. And then it went up to 1,000. It was like, oh, God. And I just couldn't afford it, really. Sure. But I just, it's like I burned out on the team. And my kids live in New England. One lives in Massachusetts, one in Connecticut. And particularly their husbands are big Patriots fans. And at some point I said, I'm just going to root for the Patriots. Yeah. And this was sort of before the Patriots started actually winning things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
picked the right time, though.
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah. And so, and when I lived in Massachusetts, I became a Red Sox fan, and I became a Bruins and Celtics fan. Okay. I mean, I got to watch Bill Russell on TV, and I got to do all that stuff. You know, I mean, when I did go to 2 Bullets games, and never a Wizards game, but I went to Bullets games after I was down here and got to see Wes Unseld and Elvin Hayes and, you know, got to see Elvin Hayes play against Kareem from seats right under the basket.
Cool.
And it was like, I got to see that kind of stuff, which was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of gotten to where now I had the red zone for a long time. Don't let Tony hear this, but I got sick of the red zone because it was making me nervous. It was like between the music, which was constantly going ding, 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 and switching from game to game.
It's overwhelming.
Especially for the 1 o'clock games. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And it just got to be more than I wanted to deal with. Plus, they started charging an extra $50 a year for it.
Yep.
And when they stopped including it, that was kind of, I did it 1 year and I was like, nah, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. It's all about money.
It's all about the money. Well, Greg, listen, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. Now, as you know, we've got some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
Sure.
All right, Roxy, what do we got?
All right. If you could time travel, where or when would you go?
Oh, heck. I would go back about 15 years before my knees started going. Mm. That would be about it for me. I wouldn't have done the things that caused things like my ACL to give out.
Sure.
Gotcha. Yeah, that would have been good enough for me, really.
That's a good answer.
There's no point in my life that I want to relive, honestly.
Right.
All right. What's the one movie you love so much that you know you will be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
Waking Ned Divine.
Oh.
Didn't expect that, did you?
Roxy has no idea what you're talking about.
Nope.
Yeah, I know. Roxy. Yeah. Oh, It's a movie about a little town in Ireland.
Ooh.
That a gentleman wins the lottery, and these two guys spend a lot of time trying to figure out who in town, because they know that somebody in town bought that winning ticket, and they finally find him, and the shock of it has killed the poor man. And so they take the ticket, and they decide they're going to divide it up between everybody in town, and it kind of goes like that.
Oh.
So my best friend and I both love this movie, and God help me, still go skiing every year, and a lot of times we'll bring that movie with us. And there's a scene in there where somebody does a eulogy for somebody, and we both sit there weeping.
Excellent. All right, Roxy, what's next?
If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
Downhill skiing.
Ooh, the thrill. Yeah. I love that.
Terrifies me. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What is the first major news story you remember as a child?
Golly, that would probably be Eisenhower winning the election.
Mm-hmm. Ah, gotcha. That's what I wanted to ask him. I was like, I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah.
Don't mean to date him, but no, I knew it was going to be good.
Yeah, 1952. Uh-huh. My grandmother loved him.
Yeah. What was your favorite toy growing up?
I had a little car that was a pedal car that my dad actually got imported by FAO Schwartz. It came from England, which is a sign of what my childhood is like. And I loved that little blue car.
Wow.
It was a really cool car.
Oh, yeah. That's great. All right, Roxy, let's end with some rapid fire.
Okay.
Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, waffles, because they hold more syrup.
Right, exactly.
I dream of Genie or Bewitched?
I dream of Genie.
And how about Uranus jokes? Not funny or never not funny?
Never not funny.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Greg, we can't thank you enough for taking the time to meet the Littles. Is there anything we can plug for you, or how can people get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
Okay. You can find me on Facebook under Gregory Pank. You can find my band on Facebook under folk.salad.trio in homage to our friend who died. And come and see us at a winery or a senior luncheon near you. We play all of those things.
Oh, nice.
A lot of different songs between a senior living place and a winery, by the way.
Right.
Everybody gets rubber ducky dough.
Right. Excellent. All right, Greg, thanks again for coming on. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Personally, I prefer under, but my wife prefers over. And being a wise man who's been married four times, I go with over.
Ah,
okay.
Excellent. And your wife is very wise. You can tell her I said that.
Thank you.
There you go. All right, Greg, thanks again for coming on to Meet the Littles. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Wes Blackburn from Tallahassee, Florida. And you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
You can send in a fax or an email that's witty while munching on goodies down at Bagel City. If you're not a podcaster, you'll hear this today. If you're out on your bike tonight, do what the Rolling Stones say. Tony sells you some windows that he says you'll be needing. He might then take a pause and laugh while he's reading. With just a few clicks of your Google machine, send an email to Nigel. Now you know the mailbag routine.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And thank you, Greg, for coming on to Meet the Littles. What a treat that was. Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles.
Whoa, what's that?
Rich.
Well, we promised he'd be on this episode. And he's a little late to the party, but that's okay. Save the best for last. We're going to save him for now. Ritz, we'll get back to you in a second. I want to make sure we know what this jingle is. So as we said in the last episode, we're going to start playing some of these jingles from littlesongs.net, trying to get the jingle back. That was, of course, the great Joe Arrow doing It's Always the Mailbag to Me. Of course, a parody of Billy Joel's She's Always a Woman to Me. And, of course,
Joe Arrow, episode 3. I mean, we couldn't do another one without getting him on here. And we're just randomly picking these jingles, and we're going to just start bringing them back. We're excited about that. And like we said, hopefully they'll start sending some in, and hopefully we won't get in trouble for playing them. Anyway, Ritz, how's it going? What have you been up to?
Listen, I've been knocking on the door at your apartment, but Roxy is just so loyal to her husband that she won't let me in.
Wow.
No, it's more like I'm sleeping.
Yeah, right.
Oh, there you go.
Well, we're glad you're here to do our emails and stuff like that. But real quick, I wanted to get into, I know you didn't hear the first part because we already recorded it, but I was at a hotel yesterday or the day before, Ritz, and they actually had newspapers in the lobby that, you know, for the guests. And I was just so excited. I haven't had a newspaper in forever. I know that's on me because I could just buy them here. Do you have a newspaper? Do you read newspapers still?
Yeah, we don't get a newspaper. I do read newspapers online, so I subscribe to two different papers. But it's funny you should say that because we visited my mom over the weekend, and she still gets the New York Times delivered and religiously reads it with her cup of coffee every morning. It's amazing.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. Now, this was the USA Today, so I said, don't judge littles, but it's what they were offering for free, so I was going to take it. Yeah, it just been so long, and they had some really good articles. That, you know, it was about they did a lot of the movies, the upcoming movies in the life section, so I was really excited about that. But yeah, it was just so nice to just be holding a paper, and it just really brought back some good memories, so that was a lot of fun. You too, why don't we get to the emails? We had some good ones this episode. I mean, all over the place. But let's start here. Eric Lonergan, episode 4. He says, Dear Choxie, sounds so much better than Dear Ruck. Now, have we had a Dear Ruck before? I don't think so. But it says, thank you for the Sutton Foster shout out. I was first made aware of her when I fell in love with the Bunheads. But sadly, that show only lasted a season. I hadn't thought about her in a while, so the name drop made me follow her on the Instagram. I know she's been in a lot that I never got around to seeing is Younger. Worth a binge? Have either of you seen Younger?
I have, and I loved it. It's more adult than I think really anything that she's done, at least TV-wise. I loved it.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
It's one I watch without you, Chuck.
All right. Well, if it's good, I might want to take a look. All right. And then he says, also, you'll get a million of these, but the pop-up shape timer game was not connection. It was called perfection. I think
Roxy
might have had in mind the online game connections from the New York Times.
No, I just said it wrong.
Strongly recommend if you aren't playing it daily like me. Then he writes, Chuck, I feel you. The generation gap with Jared felt like a valley. We who grew up with Bewitched reruns and never watched Jimmy Neutron need to stick together. Episode 4, Eric Lonergan. P.S. I'm coming back to Boston early Sunday on my next Amtrak jaunt for a dear friend's 50th birthday party. So, yes, I'll miss Chuck by a day, but that just gives me good reason and an excuse to come back soon. So,
yes.
Okay.
So picking up on what Eric said, do you guys play Connections?
No, I don't think so.
I've never.
Oh, man, it's
it.
A lot of fun. No, it's great. So I guess I kind of found out about it. I was playing Wordle, and it's now another game that the New York Times has, but definitely recommended. You know, we all need that moment in our morning to make us feel smart. So I usually start my day doing the connections puzzle. And
well, what is
it? Sometimes
numbers?
Feel smart.
Is it letters? What is it?
Great.
So it's a grid of 16 boxes, and each box has a word, and you have to find the four groups of four words that have some kind of a connection. So it's pretty fun, and there's usually one or two that you think could be in a category, but they sort of overlap. So it is, they do make it challenging, and it is quite fun.
All right.
Tricky.
Okay.
Highly recommended.
All right. Now, next. So this last episode, we did a flashback, and it was a year ago from when we released it, and I believe it was Brad Phillips was the guest. So I love this because it brings up some old topics. Now, Rich, you have the next email, right?
Correct. Hey, guys, fun fact, white chocolate isn't chocolate at all. It doesn't contain any cocoa solids. So that means since Reese's peanut butter cups are chocolate and peanut butter, anything white chocolate isn't Reese's. That is from Nick Mariano, episode TBD.
Right. Now, that was brought up a lot. about a year ago.
You know, yeah, that's right.
They all know I like white chocolate, but it's not really chocolate, I guess. But maybe that's why I like it. I don't know. And then, of course, we had some other Twitter comments about how you say Reese's or Reese's, or, you know, we don't need to go down that road again. But
right.
All right. Anyway, Roxy, you got the next one, right?
Yes, this is from Mike Wolf, episode TBD. Chuck and Roxy, another great show. First off, I imagine the reason Jared buried the lead was because his trash talking of GWB's Rangers finally is coming back to haunt him. Ex-Pres Bush probably had a good laugh when he listened to this episode. And if you listened to last Friday's big show, I'm sure you are just like me looking forward to the new running email topic. What does Chuck do for a living? Mike Wolf, episode TBD. I know that cracked me up. That was so funny.
She actually heard that one. Now, the funny thing is, I don't even know what I do anymore. I just try to keep working. That's all. I'm just trying
to wear many hats.
Right.
It's all about insurance weeks, right, Chuck?
Exactly. Well, but the drumming doesn't give me insurance weeks because my health insurance is through Equity. So the drumming stuff is the fun stuff. I mean, it does. The musician union does have health insurance as well, but I just decided to go with, because my main job was stage managing at the time when I got the health insurance. So I was like, I'll just stick with that union. And what else was in there? Was something else in there? I thought.
If any ex-president like listened to our podcast, that would be pretty dope, right?
Absolutely. And then more importantly, though, we never talked to Ritz about. We didn't really recap the World Series either, Roxy. I mean, Ritz, what did you think? I mean, I was so bummed. After the first two games, I was like, oh, this is not going to be so bad. You know, I was like, and it was just such a disappointment the way it ended. I mean, it was just so, I don't know. I'm happy for him. I didn't care which team won. I was rooting for both teams. I was more rooting for Texas, I guess. But I don't know. I was just hoping for seven games, and it didn't come close. And it was really just the way it ended was just kind of a letdown. What'd you think, Ritz?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. And I always make the comment every year that the World Series, however it ends, it's always the saddest day of the year for me, because it's like, oh, well, now I don't have baseball for another 4 months or whatever it is. But to your point, I thought it was going to be a back and forth World Series. It would go seven games. I really enjoy, because both teams really play good ball.
Yeah.
So I was really looking forward to that. And listen, I think Texas just kind of blew them out those last three games.
Yeah. And I didn't really even get a chance to watch him because of my schedule, unfortunately. Because the way this tour I'm doing now, it's we've been traveling a lot after the show at night, and it's just kind of a drag. So, you know, I'm listening to it. So I never really got to even watch some of these games. It was kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was really hoping for seven games because, of course, right when it ended, I had like two nights off. And then, of course, there was nothing on TV to watch. So it was just like, bummer.
Right.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the next one. We heard from Ed Butt, episode 51. Chuck and Roxy, I'm thrilled to hear that Frankfort, Michigan is still in the running for your Summer of Littles road trip. He says, I can't guarantee a cloudless night the first Saturday in August, but the odds are very good. And it's not a ship in the middle of the Baltic, but we do live 4 miles north of a town of 1,200 in a township whose dark sky ordinance requires all exterior lights to be off after 11 p.m. And the next land north of us, other than two uninhabited islands, 22 and 25 miles out, is the Upper Peninsula about 100 miles away. So the stars are often pretty spectacular. Ed Budd, episode 51. So, Roxy, I don't know. I think it just moved up.
Yeah, it sounds dreamy.
Right?
I'll tell you, this is a call to action for all those other communities to start wooing Chuck and Roxy. I mean, you got to start sending incentives and, you know, sweetening the offer, right?
Now, Ritz, is that just because you want to host again this summer? Is that what that's about?
Listen, we missed you guys, I have to say. I am not as good a host as you and Roxy, for sure.
I doubt that. But yeah, I don't know what we're going to, we'll figure it out. We've got plenty of time to figure it out, but we'll see. All right. Rich, you got the next one, right?
Yes, I do. It is from Brad Phillips, episode 184, Chuck and Roxy. I like how Chuck said, play the music to, I assume, Lewis, that slacker. It also made me laugh when Roxy said, where I live. Sorry, Chuck, sounds like you're out.
You know, Roxy, I caught that. I did. I let it slide.
Yeah, you know.
Is there still room for me there?
We're married. It's like we're one unit. It's like we're one person.
Oh,
so
I see.
When I say mine, I mean ours.
I don't know.
Hey, listen, I don't want to spread any rumors, but in fact, the Littles should know that over the last 3-4 weeks, I've spent more time with Roxy than you, Chuck.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah, actually. Yep.
Yeah, that's very true. How did your bowling team did okay this week, right?
We held on to second, but we dropped in the standings a little bit. So we did not have that great a game.
Well, we had a golden opportunity and we blew it. We don't need to bore the listeners with that. We'll talk about that off air. All right, Roxy, you got the last one?
I do. This is from Bill Scudiere, episode 253. Chuck and Roxy, mea culpa. Who knew? I did not realize that the Friday Five was not organically a part of the Loyal Littles podcast. I often wondered why the segment was not on more often, if for no other reason than to showcase that wonderful jingle.
Hear that, Sully?
Right? Your suggestion that I contact the Facebook page where the Friday Five truly resides is probably not going to happen due to my indifference to social media in general and Facebook in particular. Having said that, I bequest my questions to you both to do whatever you believe appropriate. Hope your holiday season gets off to a great start. Bill Scudiere, episode 253.
All right. Well, we're going to have to do that more often, I guess, because, you know, we haven't done the Friday Five in a while, Roxy, and we need to bring that back. If anything, for the jingle. He's right. The jingle is where it's at. So
I love the jingle.
Yeah. Maybe what we'll do is we'll maybe use Bill's on a Tuesday. And now we don't have a jingle for that. But we'll sneak in his a couple times. They were good questions. So we're going to sprinkle them in whenever we can. Ritz, what else? You got anything else for us before we take off here?
Listen, before we leave the air here, I just want to give a big shout out to my friend, Mr. 178, Brandon Borzelli, because he is a believer in Ritz. And I want to thank him for the shout out, for knowing how sincere I am.
But we're giving 178 a big head here. We don't need to do that.
You know, listen, someday he and I might have to just pirate the broadcast
there you
and
go.
Take it over.
Actually, you could start a new podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network. And
exactly.
Yeah. Do a runner's podcast or something. I don't know.
All about, you know, women's obsession with running shoes and running gear.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, we're glad you got to pop on, at least for the end of the podcast. We got you in here. We promised you would be here. I was like, we got to make this happen. And then we didn't think it was going to happen, but we made it happen. So very thankful.
I really appreciate you guys. Thanks.
We appreciate it. I can't wait to see you all again. It's been way too long. This tour is...
When are you back?
About a week and a half now. About a week and a half. And Ritz, we're going to tease this, okay? But come to find out that I didn't know this, that your wife used to be on this tour like years ago.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
I wish I would have known that before I went into it. But so we're going to tease that because there's going to be some stories there, I bet. But
the incredibly incestuous world of, Broadway touring. Right?
Absolutely. Yes. But thanks for jumping on. And
my pleasure, guys.
Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
You can go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there.
What if you need self-care, Roxy?
Go to www.modernselfcare.us.
And what if you need a book?
Go to aaronsbooks.com.
And don't forget, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, do not forget to give us a nice rate and review over there. It does matter. It does matter, people. Go do it. Just do it. And the most important thing is, as always, if you are out shopping online tonight, don't forget to
use
the
code.
Bye.
My wife thought it was not a good idea for me to go to bars and playing music.
I woke in the morning, the sunlit waters caught my eye. Colors on the river, from the fading of sunshine. Beauty walks through sunset as my baby passes by. Colors on her face where the sun lies soft and wild. Might be Montana, I don't know, I never knew. Where the wind pounds my body, but my soul is warm and true. And when your salt is falling, I will catch them from your eyes so fine. I bring them to my face, and I wear them as they were mine. And while the moon is sailing sideways on the night spots you've outlined, a kiss for all that's beauty in an ageless world of time. Arizona, I don't know, I never knew. And something there might matter, but it can only come true with you.
Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Didn't expect that, did you?
Oh, yeah.